I'm going to teach about speaking faith-filled words tonight. Yes. Donna said I need to speak on faith again. I haven't done that in a while. And we need to hear this. Some of you know what I'm going to say tonight. You've lived this. Others, you're not real grounded in this. And some of you who know it need to bring it back to your remembrance. Because I want to tell you something tonight. It's easy. Peter said, let me bring it back to your remembrance, lest you let them slip. It's easy to let things slip. How many knows what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 23 is where I'm going to use as my text. We live a Christian life and some things become habit to us, but there are things that are against the grain, what I mean against our old nature, that we have to form a new habit. And one of these is speaking faith-filled words, what God would say and what He says about us and our situation. Is it comfortable in here to everybody? I turned this air on just a while ago. It's that time of year where it's kind of mixed. So if somebody gets cold, just let JD know or make your way over here to that and take care of it. So anyways, we have to remind ourselves what God says to us about our situations and about our mouth. Our mouth and our tongue are a very important part of our Christian life. And tonight I want to talk to you about what God wants us to do with our mouth, and that is speak faith-filled words. So I want to tell you tonight, believing God is wonderful. But Jesus urges us to do one more thing, and that is to speak the word of faith, to verbalize what we are seeking from God. Such a believer who understands the power of spoken faith or word of faith, the Bible says, shall have whatsoever you saith. Now, I want to make this real clear as we go on tonight. That He's not talking about just anything. Because God's not going to give you something that's going to harm you. Or He's not going to give you, for instance, you can't just go around saying, God, give me a pink Cadillac for every day of the week. That's not what Jesus is talking about when He says this. Here in Mark chapter 11, I've heard other preachers preach on this, and I heard one guy say, well, Jesus was using the fig tree as an illustration of Israel, and He was cursing the fig tree because Israel was cursed. Well, that really don't pan out, because if you read the whole context of what He was saying, He wouldn't have told the disciples, who in one sentence He tells them not to curse people, then in the next sentence He said, the very same thing I'm doing, you can do. So He was really not talking about Israel. He was using this whole incident or instance when He walked by this fig tree to give them a faith lesson. And all throughout the Bible, it's consistent with what Jesus is saying. And we're going to bring some of those scriptures out tonight to help you better understand that. So here in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 23, and I'm going to read out of the King James, it says, have faith in God. Say that with me. Have faith in God. Now, listen, not faith in Muhammad, not faith in Buddha, not faith in necessarily even yourself. Not faith in faith. And a lot of times the modern faith movement has taught it in such a way that it's almost like you've got to have faith in faith. Now, you do need to believe what you're saying. I'm not saying, but I'm saying the faith that we have has to be grounded. If it's going to be a God kind of faith, a Bible kind of faith, it has to be grounded in God. Now, look at verse 23. For verily I say unto you. Now, He was talking to the disciples, but it also He's also speaking to us. That whosoever, why do I know He's speaking to us? Because He just said that whosoever, we fall in that category. Shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now look, I want to point out one thing before I go further, is in this whole two verses here, he says, say three times. He says, have faith in God, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. It's important to understand that saying has a lot to do with faith. Speaking has a lot to do with our faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. One of the main ways to release your faith is to do it through your mouth. Now look, I'm going to break this down. It says there's three foundational stones here of faith that gets us results. Number one, we got to have faith in God, faith in His Word, faith in His promises, faith in the Son, His Son Jesus. Not faith in our faith, faith or faith in faith, or a memorized formula that gets results, but faith in God. I want you to understand, some people have learned formulas and they've learned phraseology. And God has given me a knack for quoting scriptures. And some people can even quote scripture. But that's not necessarily faith. There's other corresponding actions or components of faith that has to be there. One is you've got to have faith in God. Not faith in yourself, not faith in faith, but faith in God. The only kind of faith that's going to get results is the kind that is grounded in God, in His Word. Now listen, when I say in His Word, because God and His Word are one and the same. Number two, believe in your heart without doubting. Believe in your heart. Look what he says, and he shall not doubt in his heart. Believe in your heart without doubting. You say, well, is that possible, preacher? Well, yes, it is. If God says you can do it, then you can do it. Believe in your heart without doubting. And then third, and say with your mouth what you believe. Believe in your heart, say with your mouth. Believing God and His Word is of great importance. But Jesus encourages us to go further, and He says we need to articulate, say aloud what we believe. There's great power in the spoken word of faith. I want to show you real quick. Hold your finger there. We'll come back to this. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. I want to build a foundation for you tonight in this speaking and believing thing that we're talking about. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. When you're there, say amen. All right, look what it says with me. It says, having the same spirit of faith, according to as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. He's saying the same thing. He's saying if you'll believe in your heart, you'll have faith in God. He says you'll have the same spirit of faith. What does he mean by the same spirit of faith? It's the same kind of faith that I'm talking about in Mark chapter 11. The same kind of faith. If I say that I've got the same spirit that JD's got, and you all know JD to be a rock solid man, and this, and there's a lot of attributes he has, then the first thing you're going to think of is, I got those same attributes in my life. Huh? Well, when he's saying you have the same spirit of faith, he's saying the same kind. And look what he says, you believe, and therefore you speak. You believe, therefore you speak. Remember what it says in Mark. It says, have faith in God. Don't doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things you say shall come to pass. You'll have whatever you say. Now, he's saying here the same thing in another way. He said, I'm having the same kind of faith or spirit of faith according to as is written, according to the Bible, basically. I have believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. It's important to understand that faith has to be the same kind that God has, and then you will get results. You got to believe, then you got to verbalize it. You got to say it with your mouth, articulate it, say it out loud. If you're not willing to say it out loud, you really don't believe it. And there's another scripture that comes to mind. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you believe comes out of your mouth. I tell people, it is a locator of what's going on in your heart. You ever see somebody just come unwound? That is an outward expression of what's going on inside. There's a lot of turmoil inside. And that's why the person verbalizes it. And some people, if you hear them and all they speak is fear, 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 fear. Now, I'm not picking on anybody tonight. I'm trying to help us get to a new level. Say, I want to go to a new level. All of us want to go to a new level in God. Would you believe that I sometimes catch myself saying things that are contrary to what I say I believe? Because that's really what's in my heart. Your heart exposes, or your mouth exposes what's in your heart. So anyhow, what we believe is in our hearts. If we're talking fear, doubt, sickness, poverty, everything under the sun, contrary to what God's Word says about us, then really we don't believe, or we do believe, but we believe the wrong thing. Is that right? So we need to get the Word in us. And the Word, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word, Romans 10:17. We get the Word in us, and the Word begins to change our heart. And then consequently, our mouth gets in line with our heart, and we begin to speak out what God says, and then we start to get positive results. How many wants positive results? Listen to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. So we can't just say anything and everything that comes to our mind and expect God to grant it. It has to be according to His will. And if we find it in His will, which is His Word or the Bible, then we can speak it boldly, or we can proclaim it boldly, and believe that God will grant it to us, because He says that He will grant, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. In other words, if we find what God says about us and says we can have, if we'll begin to believe it and then begin to speak it, then we can have confidence and know that God's going to give it to us. That's why you can't go out here and say, God's going to give me 7 pink Cadillacs, one for every day of the week, because you can't find that in God's Word. It don't line up with His truth. So you can't just go out there and say anything and expect it to happen. It is a spiritual law that God has put into place that few ever really grasp in the church. There's a few, but there's a lot that don't. And what they're doing is shorting themselves of God's best. God has good things for us, but in order for us to experience them, we have to learn to cooperate with Him or His Word, or get obedient, basically, to His Word. This is really a obedience thing. We can say with faith, Lord, I believe that You're Jehovah Rapha. How many knows who Jehovah Rapha is? According to the Bible, that's the healer of my sickness, because we find in the Bible God's promise of divine health. We can say in faith or with faith, Lord, through You, I can defeat the devil and not be defeated by him, because we find in various scriptures declaring that Jesus defeated the devil on our behalf. And the Bible says, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, He said, behold, I give you power over all the works of the enemy. So you can declare by faith that you can defeat the devil. You know, a lot of people are letting the devil come in and take territory from them, rob them of the blessings of God, and they don't have to. Jesus bought and paid for it. We have to determine we want it, and we want it God's way, and we're willing to fight the devil to get it. The devil's after your faith, and the devil's after the Word of God. How many remembers the scripture? It says, fight the good fight of faith. I want you to understand this. Because this is, you're not really fighting the devil. He's already defeated. What you're fighting is his arguments against your faith. Is that right? He's the one that comes to you and tells you God won't do this for you, won't do that for you, or he's going to leave you out on a limb to dry. Or is that right? And when we listen to him, we have faith, but we have faith in the wrong thing. So we're really not having to fight the devil. The devil's already defeated. The Bible says Jesus made a show of him openly in Colossians, defeating him. And he's already defeated. So we just really are enforcing what God has already done. So we can say with faith, Lord, through you, I can defeat the devil and not be defeated by him, because there's various scriptures that declare that Jesus defeated the devil for us on our behalf. Now, Having determined from God's word that which is in accordance with his will, we can confidently believe God for those things and speak these things with our hearts full of faith, believing that God will do them. Why? Because God said so. And if God says we can have confidence, then we can do it with confidence. I want to show you something else here. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. This should get down into us tonight before we're done. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. And this is really, if you got saved and you are saved, this is really what you did to get saved. You did this principle that you may not even realize that you did it, but you did it, and consequently God brought about salvation in your life. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10, look what it says. The word is near you. Can I pick on somebody tonight? Is it all right? Can I? And I'm just doing this to make a point. The word is near you. Say that. The word is near me. All right. If it's so near us, why is it so far from us when we have troubles?
Even in your mouth.
I'm saying this kindly so that I don't step on no toes too hard tonight. To hear somebody talk, some people talk, the word is a million miles away from them. When the Bible clearly declares, the word is near us. Well, where is it, Pastor? He tells you where it's at. He says it is in your mouth and in your heart. What is? That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming or preaching. The word is very near to every one of us. Jesus says it's in your heart and it's in your mouth. That's where it has to be if it's a real faith word. If it's not in your mouth, it's not in your heart. But if it's in your heart, it needs to be in your mouth. Sometimes what you need to do, instead of letting your tongue run off, you need to take that thing and nail it. The Bible says put a bridle in it, in James. I will tell you, there's times that I think negative. And I want to say the negative thing so bad because it just feels good to do it. You know what I'm talking about. But I won't do it. Do you ever slip up and do it? Yeah, sometimes I speak doubt. But boy, when I catch myself, I go straight back to the cross. I say, Father, forgive me because I know that's wrong. I know what your word says. And the Holy Spirit begins to quicken it to me. Every one of us in here, are we all saved? Raise your hand if you're saved tonight. I believe everybody in here is saved tonight. If you're saved, you got the Holy Ghost. And if you got the Holy Ghost, he's always talking. But we ain't always listening. And he's telling you what the word says. The Bible says he'll bring things to your remembrance. Sometimes people say, you got a photographic memory. No, I don't. I got the Holy Ghost. He does. And I just learned to listen to him. He just says scriptures and I just repeat them. And they just come to me because I hear him say them in my heart. So I'm telling you, the word is near every one of us. But to hear some believers talk, the word is a million miles away from them. It's not near to them and it's not dear to them. See, if the word is near to you, it's got to be dear to you. You know what I mean by be dear to you, don't you? It means I hold it in high regard. Means I hold it in high esteem. Means I hold it close to my heart. I mean, it's everything to me. I don't know nothing else. I don't want to know nothing else. Why? Because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. And then when the disciples were going to turn, some of them left him, and he looked at the other disciples. They said, you want to leave too? They said, no way, man. Said, you have the words of eternal life. Where would I go? There's nothing better out there. So I hold the word dear to my heart. You gotta hold it dear to your heart. You gotta hold it in high regard. You gotta hold it, you gotta give it first place in your life if it's gonna be near to you and dear to you. It's gotta be near you, it says. It's gotta be in your mouth and it's gotta be in your heart. And that is the word which we are proclaiming or preaching or telling you about. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might, you will be. That's positive. Now verse 10 says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." So you see, the heart and the mouth and the believing all have to work together. If you believe it, you got to be willing to go one step further and speak it. And see, really, if you speak it, you're really putting faith to work because you're proving that you believe it. If you're not willing to speak it, then you prove you're just an unbelieving believer. You see, is there such a thing? Churches are full of them. Churches are full of them. People who confess Jesus as Lord, but that's as far as they go. They won't go any further. And Jesus is saying we need to get it in our heart, believe it with our heart, and then we need to vocalize it with our mouth. And then he said positive things happen. You will be saved. With a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. This word salvation means several things. It don't just mean God's going to save me from the fiery pit. Yeah, that's part of it, but that's only a small part of it. With a mouth, confession is made to salvation. That word has many meanings. It means new birth, getting saved, as traditionally as we know it. It also means health and healing. It also means deliverance. It also means rescue. It also means safety and more. And that's why it's important that we help new believers say a sinner's prayer. One day I was up here praying not too long ago with a person that came up here to be prayed for salvation. And naturally what they want to do is they want you to pray it because they don't know how to pray. They feel very uncomfortable. They don't know what they're doing. But the Lord, I began to pray for him, and before I got done, the Holy Spirit began to quicken to me. He said, "Stop. You let them pray. You coach them. Tell them." They don't have to say word mimic what you say, but give them a general idea of what they need to say. Confess, believe, and claim Jesus as Lord. And understand that he died for their sins. And let them verbally say it. Why? It takes root when they do that. You know, it's a lot easier to believe you hear yourself say something if you'll say it enough than it is to hear somebody else say it. Getting quiet. So it's health and healing, it's deliverance, it's rescue, and it's much more. That's why it's important that when we lead people to Christ, we let them say it, believe it with their heart. How do they believe it with their heart? Well, faith comes by hearing. And they hear you tell them how Jesus died for them and rose again for their just died for their sins, rose for their justification. Faith comes. Then they got something to hold on to with their heart. Are you with me? And then you let them confess this newfound faith with their mouth. So if we're sick, we can believe God for healing and we can vocalize it, articulate it. Don't just hold it inside. This morning I woke up and I don't know what I did. I don't remember doing anything. But I had the worst backache I ever think I've ever had. I went to work, and my back hurt so bad. My head hurt. My eyeballs hurt. My teeth hurt. My nose hurt. My ears hurt. My neck hurt. My shoulder hurt. And I was so miserable, I didn't want to talk to nobody. I got to work, and I turned the computer on, and there's 10 questions from people that want me to answer them. And I mow out it. That's the last thing I wanted to do. Of course, I was in a bad mood. I didn't even like myself. I was hurting so bad. Well, I sit there and moped around a little bit, tried to stretch it out. Oh, man, I mean, I ain't kidding you. My teeth hurt. That's how bad it hurt. And I got quiet, and I heard the Lord just begin to speak to my heart and said, "Speak to it." Oh, I said, "Oh, God, feel sorry for me." I called my wife. I said, "I'm going to get me some pity." Those that know my wife, she is a person of faith. She only knows faith and the truth. And she's not mean. She just tells you, "Honey, I'll agree with you, but you know what you got to do. You're the pastor. You tell everybody else, so you got to do it too." So she said, begin to speak to your back and tell that pain to go. I says, oh, okay. She says, I got to go. Bye. No pity there. Is JD home? What are you laughing at? We all do this, don't we? Huh? Come on now. I'm getting down there where you live now. Somebody else give me a hello. No, no faith. Okay. I don't want to talk to you very long either. You don't give me no pity. Let me find somebody else. Hello? You're laughing, but it's the truth. We do everything under the sun but do what we know is right to do. And we wonder why we ain't getting any results. Well, I got quiet. I didn't call JD. I was kidding. I thought about it. But I thought he'd tell me the same thing. JD just prays straight face like poker face and goes, it's done in Jesus' name and that's the end of it. And I'm like, wait a minute, that ain't it. Just stop. Talk to me. All right, let's get back to where we're at. Here's where we're at. Listen, and Donna says, you know what you need to do? Well, I got a little book in my left-hand drawer called Healing Scriptures by Kenneth Hagin. So I pulled it out. I began to look at those scriptures, you know, and I mean, I'm cross-eyed. I'm hurting so bad. Yeah, if you've ever had a migraine headache, you know what I'm talking about. And I began to quote those. He sent his word and he healed them. Psalms 107:20. Forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases and sicknesses and so on and so forth. Isaiah 53:5-6. Him himself bore my sicknesses and sins and diseases, and by his stripes I'm healed. 2 Peter 2:24. I begin to quote them. Well, you know, lo and behold, as I begin to quote them, the word got stirred up in my heart, and I begin to believe them. Right there in my little old office, begin to believe. And I begin to believe that, you know what, he did bear on for me. And bless God, devil, you're a liar. And pain, you're a liar. You have no right to stay on me. Because if Jesus bore this, and the Bible says he took them and he bore them. And if he bore them, what am I doing bearing them? So I began to speak to this thing. And I said, back, you got to come in line with the word of God. Did you feel hot oil run down you, Pastor? Not at all. Did it go away immediately? Not at all. But it did get better. And with every moment went by, about 11 o'clock when I come up here for lunch, I was feeling pretty good. And here I am tonight. It works only when we work it. You say, well, am I supposed to? God didn't care that I whined for a little bit. He did care, but he's more happy that I finally laid a hold of that word and I begin to speak that word in spite of the pain. In spite of the pain. Now, I'm telling you, it hurt. And all of us like to be stroked a little bit, massaged a little bit. And pity helps a little bit. It does. And there is a place for that. But I'm telling you, if we're going to get results, we've got to get with God's program. And his program is this: believe in your heart. And you know what? This scripture came to my mind when I was experiencing this pain. The word is near you. You know, I can't go to God and say, God, I don't know what your word says. I'd be lying to him. Now, if you don't and you're a baby Christian, that's one thing. But if you've been walking with God for some time and you know the word and you're not doing it, you know what the Bible calls that? Do you know what the Bible calls it? Somebody speak it out for me tonight. Disobedience. Well, I just thought it was something I just didn't really want to do. No, it's just something you refuse to do. Listen to me tonight. We want results, don't we? Jesus is telling us how to get them. He said, the word's near you. You know, God took all the excuses away and he says, I'll put it in your heart. All you got to do is your part, and that's speak it out. Believe it and speak it out. He already did the work. Man, that's the easy part. He went to the cross. He bore the stripes. We don't have to do none of that. All we got to do is receive the gift of grace. And how we receive it is just like we receive salvation. The word is near us. We got to put it in our mouth, in our hearts, and we got to proclaim it. And we got to speak it and believe it. Now, here in Genesis chapter 1, I said, remember, we have the same spirit of faith It's the same kind of faith God has. Did you know that scripture where it says have faith in God, and some translation says have the same kind of faith as God? It means be copycat. Mimic what God has already done. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and there was. And for 6 days of creation, it's recorded in Genesis, read it, it said over and over, God said, and dramatic creation events occurred. The word that God speaks have unlimited power. He spoke, let me show you something about His word also, He says. In Isaiah, He speaks His word, and His word brings result, has results. In Isaiah, I maybe just quote it to you, be quicker. It says, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth be like the snow that comes from heaven and comes down. I better read it because I don't know that one. That one's not near me. But I'll read it to you because I want to show you something that we all need to understand. Here it is. It says, for as the rain cometh down, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10, or for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Look what he says about his word. So shall my, he's likening it to that. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So when we speak God's word, we are sending God's word. And God says it'll prosper in the very thing that you send it to do. And it won't return void. It'll do what He sent it to do. Do you believe that tonight? So we got to have the same kind of faith that God has. And we got to believe it enough to speak just like He did. His word is full of immense power. Jesus said in John 6:63, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they're spirit and they're life. And if we believe that they're spirit, they work in the spirit realm, but they bring life. And then in what he meant by my word is spirit and it's life is the same thing he said in Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it's verse 12, it says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and the thought and intent of the heart. That word quick and powerful means the word of God is alive and active, is what the Amplified Bible says, doesn't it, J.D.? It's alive and it's active. It is like a seed with the DNA in it. How many knows whatever you plant has a DNA in it? Everybody's getting ready to plant seeds. And it's got tomato seeds. I'm going to get me one of them tomato trees. Anybody seen those? 7 foot tall, 60 pounds of tomatoes. Wow, $9. That's worth it. You can grow it on your back porch. Tomato tree. I know. But the DNA in the seed is there to produce that. The same thing in God's Word. The DNA to produce healing in your body is there. The DNA to bring prosperity in your life is there. The DNA to whatever you're planting, He says it'll prosper in whatever you plant. Jesus said it's got life in it.
Thank you, Lord.
But it only has life when it's planted. You can have a bag full of seeds and you can sit there and walk by and go, man, look at all those tomato seeds. Look at those okra seeds. Yum, yum. And you never do nothing with it. Come on now. You'd never do nothing with it.
That's right.
What happens? You just keep walking by that bag of seeds.
Yeah.
And it's just like that with your Bible. You walk by that Bible and you see it and it's a bag of seeds. And you go, yum, yum. That's got a lot of good promises in it. Yum, yum. But you never plant none of it. Then guess what? Yum, yum never happens because you never get none of it.
Right.
We have to do the Word. Faith without works or corresponding actions is useless, dead. And that's where most church folks are. Bless our little unbelieving hearts. We just don't get it. We have to utilize the Word of God. You know what? I wanted to say to God this morning, I am the pastor. You know what I mean by that? I deserve special treatment, God. Don't tell me you don't say that to God. You know what God says? God will say back to you, I am no respecter of persons. Who are you? You get my seed and you work it, just like you tell everybody else.
That's right. That's right.
Buddy boy.
Wait till Linda hears this.
I have to add a little humor so you guys will get it. Listen to me. Here's what we can do. We can boldly speak the word of God and declare it because we believe it in our heart. You say, but what if it don't go right away? We still believe it. We still speak it. There was a woman in Arizona that got a hold of this message, and she literally heard the thing Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Literally heard it. And there was a mountain in her backyard. She looked out her back door and all she could see was a mountain. She began to speak to that mountain. She owned that mountain. She said, mountain, be thou removed. Well, several years went by. And every day when she was washing the dishes, looking out that window, she'd look out that window and go, mountain, be thou removed. You know what? The state came along and bought that mountain for her and put a superhighway through there and moved that mountain. You know what we say? We look outside and we see an ant bed and we go, holy smokes, Mount Rushmore.
That's it, John.
We say just the opposite. We say that thing's getting bigger. Instead of smaller. We speak contrary to the word and we wonder why. We wonder why we ain't getting anywhere. Now listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says his words are spirit in our life. The Lord's words in your mouth are still his words, aren't they? If we're speaking his words, it's not of our own accord. It's not of our own authority. It's God's words and it's his authority and it's his word. I know it feels weird to say that when things look contrary to say to that. But you know, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, it was just as alive as it ever was. But his word went to work on the root cause and took care of that problem. His words, his promises spoken by your mouth have the power of life and death. Listen to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It says, the tongue has the power of life, in the tongue is the power of life and death. What I'm telling you tonight is you need to speak life and quit speaking death. If you're tired of what's going on in your life, change what you're believing and what you're saying. You know, you say, can you prove that? Yeah, I can. Because it tells you in the book of James, it says that if you bridle a horse, you can make that horse go anywhere. In other words, if you'll get a hold of his mouth and put a bridle in it, you can make it go anywhere. He said, if you'll put a rudder on a ship, you can make that ship go anywhere you want it to go. He said, if you'll get a hold of your tongue, you can make your life go anywhere you want it to go. As long as it's in line with God's word. Now, actually, you can negatively make your life go in bad places with letting it just run off at the mouth. How many's ever heard that old saying?
Oh, yeah.
Just speak whatever comes to your old mind without filtering it. Look what Luke 6:45 says. It said, the good man brings good things out of the treasure of his heart. The evil man brings evil things that are stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth tends to speak what is in the heart. So what we need to do is store God's word in our hearts and let it overflow out of our mouths. Amen? You know, most people, if you'll listen to them, and listen to me tonight, if your mouth is declaring wrong things, all you have to do is ask God to forgive you. He's not mad at you. Ask God to forgive you, and then ask God to help you change that. Begin to listen to what you're saying. Begin to put good things in your heart. You know, if you put good things in your heart, automatically good things are going to come out. You know why most of the time good things come out of me? Because I'm consistent to put good things in. I listen to the Word all the time. I listen to other ministries all the time. I read the Word all the time. You say, well, I get bored with it. Well, I don't. Why? Because God told me it's spirit and it's life. And he told the disciples, he says, they said, you got it all, Jesus. Everything you say is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is never changing. It's one thing you can count on. It's not like this crazy economy that we're watching on the news every day. You watch the news and every day they change their story.
That's right.
I would rather put my trust in something that's solid.
Amen.
And that won't change. That'll be the same tomorrow and the next day. So we need to store the Word of God in our heart, and then out of our mouth it'll come. I'm not going to go around afraid of the devil, because Jesus has given me authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. This sickness and infirmity has to leave my body, because Himself took my infirmities and carried my diseases. I watched a program last night, and a guy, he got prayed for by Benny Hinn. How many knows Benny Hinn? He's the great man of God that God's using mightily, and a lot of people get healed under his ministry. He said, I went to one of his meetings. He says, he was so sick, it was his pancreas and all this stuff, that if he drunk anything sweet or ate anything with any sugar in it, he'd go into a coma. He was so messed up that he just couldn't function. He heard he was going to be at ORU, so he went to a meeting. He had the film on this program of where Benny had prayed for him. And that guy goes, what happened? Well, Benny laid hands on him, he hit the floor, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. He says, well, did you get up healed? He said, no. He said, when I went home, said the symptoms were still there. He said, wow. He said, man, I felt the Spirit of God come all over me. And he said, nothing changed. He said, that night I had a dream. And he said, I didn't know the Bible. And he said, the Lord gave me Mark 11:22-24 in my dream. He said, I woke up and he said, I asked my wife, he said, what's Mark 11:22-24? And she said, let's open the Bible. She knew it. They opened the Bible. It's exactly what I'm teaching you tonight. He says, when you get prayed for, believe that you receive. He said, I still had all the symptoms. He says, believe. He said, I think I will believe. I think God just told me that don't put my faith in Benny Hinn, put my faith in Him. Come on now. Have faith in God. That's exactly what the man said. So he says, what'd you do? He said, I told my wife, he said, let's go down to the corner and drink a root beer. He said, that guy said, well, what happened? He said, well, if I'd ever drank a root beer before, he said, I'd woke up in the hospital 3 days later in a coma. He said, I went down. He said, what'd you do? He said, I drank a root beer. He said, what'd you do that day? He said, I had another one. I liked it. He said, those things are like syrup. Have faith in God. Believe Him. Then act on it. And this guy's been healed ever since. I'm telling you tonight, God's Word works, but it only works if we'll believe it. You say, well, that was him. No, that's for everybody. Here's something else you need to say to yourself. I will not fear an untimely death, because God's Word says I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I don't know how many times J.D.'s had to quote that. That man should not be here. With long life will He satisfy me and show me His salvation. I'm not going to struggle in poverty all my life, because God will meet all my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Fill your heart with the truths of God's promises and then speak them. And they will come forth with power and they'll bring life. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe, therefore we speak. Do you have faith in God tonight? Then prove it and speak it. Do you believe God's promises in His Word to you? Then speak it. Do you believe that the Lord's words are spirit and life? Then speak spirit and life. Does the Bible reassure you that what you're believing God for is according to His will? Therefore, speak it with confidence. If you know you have Scripture, you can stand on it. And Jesus says to such believers, you'll have whatever you say if you'll believe it and doubt not. Bow your heads. Father, thank you tonight for this precious word. And thank you, God, that we're believers, not doubters. Thank you, God, that we're going to speak your word, your truth. We're going to be faith people, because you've called us to be faith. You said without faith, it's impossible to please you, Lord. Lord, I thank you tonight that this word is getting down in each and every one of our hearts. We're going to be people of faith. We're going to believe it. We're going to speak it. We're going to act on it. We're going to act like it's true. And God, we're going to give the devil a black eye, and we're going to give you glory through it all. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before we close, does anybody...